good? Okay, Thomas, where are you? Come on up. Thomas works for International Justice Mission. A few times a year, you get to hear him share the work they're doing and how we can partner with it. Today is internationally known as Freedom Sunday, and us, along with 2,700 other churches around the world, are taking time to focus on the work of fighting injustice. And International Justice Mission is leading the way. They are a Christian organization that is seeking to bring the name of Jesus and the freedom that can be found in him to all those around the world. And so let me pray for our time together. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love for us. And that, first of all, you came to bring us freedom. But we know that it didn't end there. As you have set us free, you've now called us to be instruments of freedom in your hands, helping set others free as well. Free from sin and free from physical oppression as well. God, help us, our hearts to be open as we see your heart and our part in this mission. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi, my name is Thomas, and I work at International Justice Mission. And I also play drums sometimes, so if you see me behind the plexiglass, it's me a couple times a month. I got one clap for drums. Good. So it's my privilege to work at International Justice Mission, which is the largest anti-human trafficking organization in the world. And that sounds really large and kind of intense, but I have a pretty normal job. I work in research and data analytics. I take the VRE into D.C. and walk a couple blocks to where our offices are located, and then take the elevator upstairs and walk in the front door, and then go to my office. When I'm going to my office, I do pass a Kirk Cousins signed football, because Kirk Cousins supports IJM, for any Redskins fans. We're a giant New York Giants family, and they don't really support IJM. So Redskins got one on them. I drop my bag and then walk into the break room with my coffee mug. But I don't get coffee in the break room because we have this, like, packet coffee that you, like, stick in the machine, and it just doesn't taste very good. So one of my colleagues and I, we actually built a coffee bar in my office. And there's a clever coffee dripper, an AeroPress. If you don't know these things, yeah, look them up, and it'll change your world, your coffee world. And there's a scale. Dan, who is one of my coworkers, he actually roasts his own coffee. He gets green coffee beans and then roasts them at his home. And we make good coffee in the morning because there's really no worse injustice in the world than bad coffee to start your day. And I can say that because I'm fortunate enough that God has blessed us to live here where we don't often interact with the kind of oppression that is rampant in other parts of the world. And it's something that has just been part of human history. We see in Ecclesiastes, just the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us what kind of oppression was going on back then. And he writes, "Again, I looked and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter." And we see this throughout the whole Bible. And we often forget sometimes, or we take it for granted, that the Bible, so much of the Bible is actually written by people that have been freed from slavery. That the nation of Israel was freed from slavery. Moses had to free them so they could leave Egypt and go and live in Israel. That so much of our faith is just built on the texts and scriptures that God gave to an enslaved people that is now free. And we live in a world where a lot has changed. We have iPhones. We're going to have self-driving cars in like 5 or 10 years. But this picture of injustice is still very much the same. And that's why we work every day. I go to work, get my good coffee, because we at International Justice Mission want to see God's kingdom come and address this type of oppression. That Jesus came and he's called his church, which is John always says the church is a plan A for the world. Like, we are part of that plan A as Christians to address the oppression, to address these things, like the writer of Ecclesiastes says. And it's here. It's still in the world today. Let me give you some stats. So, 45 million people in the world today, according to the Walk Free Foundation in the United Kingdom. 45 million people are in slavery. That is larger than the population of 158 countries combined. It is more people than were ever trafficked in the multi-century transatlantic slave trade. And it's the most people that have ever been enslaved in human history. We have iPhones, we're going to have self-driving cars, but we still are stuck with this issue of sin and depravity that causes humans to actually own one another. And that's not my world. It's not your world. But it's a world for a lot of our clients that we serve. And I'm going to tell a story of one of the clients that we have. And his name is Gideon. And this is Gideon's world. Gideon is in the front of the boat. He doesn't know exactly how old he is because he was trafficked at such a young age. Dental records show that he's around 20 years old. All he really remembers is after his father died, a man came to his village and signed a contract for him, and then actually took him and his brother off to Lake Volta. Lake Volta is the largest man-made lake in the world. It was made by building a giant dam, and it is a huge lake in the country of Ghana in West Africa. And IJM and others have studied the lake, and there are at least 10,000 boys and some girls that are enslaved in the fishing industry in Lake Volta. And Gideon was one of them. Gideon doesn't really remember much other than his father passing away and then coming to the lake. And he just never had a childhood. He remembers these things that are just horrifying. He knows that he had no education. He knows that he was working nonstop, fishing, and then in the afternoons when it got too hot on the lake, then farming. He knows that he was beaten by his master. He knows that he was owned by another person. Those are things that Gideon knows. And I want to just read what Gideon has said, because I just want to honor his words about the things he experienced. He says, "When I arrived at the village and saw the lake, I was afraid. My heart was beating. That was the first time that I had seen the lake. At times I will say that I am tired, or my brother will say that he is tired. But by force, we have to go fishing." You see, Gideon was owned. He didn't have a choice. He had to go fishing. And when someone owns someone else, it's not a nice thing. Gideon's master was cruel. The master's wife was cruel. There's often situations where the only thing that saved him from being in serious physical harm was the mercy of the master's brother, who actually would take pity on Gideon sometimes and actually try to make sure that he had some semblance of the dignity of a human being. And Gideon has scars. He says, "Once my master tried to hit me with a paddle while I was in the water, and the other children warned me, so I dove into the water again. As I came out, I hit my head against a nail. I felt like my master experience that kind of fear, but Gideon did. He had a tremendous amount of fear and a lot of hopelessness. But something, it just told him that enough was enough. And most of the clients we find, just when we're out on the lake, we sent 2 undercover staff on the lake to just see how prevalent slavery was on Lake Volta. And none of the kids would talk because they're owned. They're owned. They could only speak when their master gave them permission to speak. But something just had snapped in Gideon. And so he actually asked one of the undercover staff, like, free me. Like, my master is cruel. I don't want to be in this anymore. And because IJM staff were undercover and the police were not addressing the issue and the government wasn't addressing the issue, there weren't any police on the lake that day. There wasn't anything to do, and our undercover staff actually moved on and left Gideon there. And Gideon wouldn't be saved that day. And so this is a good time to kind of ask, what is God actually doing about this? Because I don't want to live in a world where this kind of thing can happen. So what is God going to do about it? And God does address this. He addresses it through his son, Jesus. Who, when Jesus decided to announce his ministry in public, he went to a synagogue and he read from the book of Isaiah. And this is from Luke 4. And this is Jesus announcing what his ministry is going to be about. In the gospel, it says, "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him." So Jesus goes in the synagogue, and he pulls this like rock star move. It's like the Jewish synagogue equivalent of a mic drop. Reads, rolls up a scroll, gives it back to the attendant, like, sits down. And people are like, "Did he just say that? Like, did he actually just say that he is the person that's going to do all these things?" Because you have to remember, like, this was prophecy that had been passed down from generation to generation amongst the Jewish people, that, like, one day there'd be this person that does all these things. And then a person comes and actually says, I'm that person. I'm going to do all these things. And because we don't experience the things that Jesus is talking about and the prophet Isaiah talked about, we often only take the spiritual part of it. So we say that God is freeing us from the oppression of sin. He's setting us free from the captivity of sin and death, darkness, evil. He's giving sight to us who were blind in our own sin, but then through the light of Christ can see again. That's the gospel. It's 100% gospel truth. But we also have to remember is that Jesus was reading this to a people that very much understood what slavery was. They understood, had been passed down, what it was like to be an enslaved people. They knew what it was like to be captives for hundreds of years and be forced to work without pay. They knew what it was like to be owned by Egyptians and have all of their babies killed. They knew immense oppression. So these things aren't only the spiritual, it's the physical as well. And we don't need to do this either or, because we serve an immensely abundant God who overflows with everything. for our salvation. It is both. Jesus is coming to free us from everything. But that includes oppression that holds people in bondage, that holds people in slavery, like Gideon was in slavery. Jesus proclaims that he is this person that is coming. And we as his people, we at IJM, who are all Christians serving in this way, we feel that we are answering this call to free the captives. And that's what brings us to Gideon's story. Because Gideon's story doesn't end there. Gideon was rescued by IJM, and you can see that in this video. Sweet, isn't it? Because that the amazingness of rescuing Gideon, who we had seen in our undercover work, and we knew where he fished and marked it. So IJM, when we started to rescue boys off the lake, we actually could go back and find him. But we live in that tension of like the already not yet kingdom, where we're seeing the kingdom of God coming in Gideon's rescue, but we don't have it, and we struggle with not seeing rescue come to others yet, like Gideon's brother. But we actually live in that hope that we will find that, and that's what pushes us to continue. And in the midst of that tension, that's what drives us to do our work. And just focus for a minute on that smiling face, because this is someone that was a slave and no longer is. Following Gideon's rescue, for 6 months, IJM worked with counselors and the local aftercare home, and IJM aftercare social work staff worked alongside him because he had never been educated. So through trauma therapy and through some remedial education, got Gideon to a place where he could start masonry school. And this young man now who didn't know his age, didn't know anything other than a life of abject slavery, a life of being owned by someone else, could graduate from masonry school with IJM staff there cheering him on and win the Best of Literacy Award. That shows how people that are just like us but aren't free, if they're given the opportunity of freedom, they can flourish. And we owe everyone that opportunity to be able to live like Gideon is now living. I want to read you what Anita Budu, Gideon's casework manager, said about this moment. She said, "Looking back from the day of rescue to now, so much has happened, and I know that there is so much more in store. This is a story of hope and transformation. It has not been a smooth journey, but I see today a Gideon who is happy in his environment, a Gideon who has persevered through difficult times studying, who is sociable and has friends amongst his peers, and a Gideon who has learned a skill and is looking forward to what the future holds. This is the beginning of a new chapter, and we know that there are great things ahead. This is the real freedom that God is calling us as his people to bring to others." Amen. This is how we see what Jesus said in Luke 4 come to life. And us at IJM want to call you to be a part of it. And we're called to be part of so much more because the kingdom of God can do so much more than we think. And IJM has moved from just rescuing individuals or groups to trying to protect whole communities from everyday violence and see that people are freed. And we're not going to stop working until all are free. So we've seen that our model actually works. And we're doing it in Ghana and in other countries. We've worked in places like the Philippines, where in Cebu, the Gates Foundation gave us a grant and said, go and actually apply your model to the whole Cebu community. And over several years, IJM, along with partnering with the local government and local NGOs and the local police, saw a 79% reduction of minors in the sex trafficking industry within Cebu, which is amazing. And it's amazing, too, that one of our church members, actually, Costas, who I don't think is here. I don't see him. But next time you see him at church, he actually used to work at IJM a while back. And he actually helped write that grant. And he was part of preventing thousands of girls from ever actually experiencing violence. If we can prevent it, the people of God can prevent it from happening, we're seeing his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we've seen great things happen just recently in Cambodia as well. So IJM has worked in Cambodia for over 15 years. And we saw working with other Christian NGOs and with churches in Cambodia and churches in the U.S., we saw such a reduction of minors in the sex trafficking industry that IJM has actually switched the focus of our Cambodian field office. Which is amazing. It's actually Christianity Today this year published an article which showed extent that in a place where 30% of the women in the sex trafficking industry were minors, that now it is less than 2%. And young minors is only a tenth of 1%. That we've basically seen through the kingdom of God in 15 years, Christians band together, participate in their government, and see where in that picture on that cover story, this was the red light district. And now it's a place where there are churches and textile factories and youth centers, where in 15 years, God's people have completely transformed an entire community. And that their young children are no longer vulnerable to oppression. God God's people can do it. And we can do it in our own communities as well. Amen. All right. The 9:30 service was a little more pumped about this. So, I know there's challenges. Cambodia is not perfect yet. The Philippines is not perfect. We do not live in a perfect country either. But the hope we have as people that claim the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we can participate in his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we're doing Freedom Sunday. So there are 2,700. It's actually 2,721 because we did an official count. We love precision. Actually, I am. So we actually have all these churches participating in Freedom Sunday. And we're doing it in Northern Virginia. And there are actually a few churches on the shores of Lake Volta in Ghana doing Freedom Sunday today. And it shows that we need everyone in the global church to rise up and work together so that we can bring freedom until all are free. So I really want to challenge you this morning to participate as Hope Hill Church in that. I'm going to encourage you to be a freedom partner. So we have these packets. I'm going to just explain that a freedom partner does three things. They pray, they advocate, and they give $24 a month so that IJM can bring freedom 24 hours a day. And why do we do those three things? We pray because God's people can't get anywhere without prayer. Every office, there's 17 field offices, 5 partner offices, and IJM's headquarters in D.C. And all of our offices stop once a day and pray for our work because we know that we're just participating. That if slavery is going to end, it's going to be God's movement in God's people to do this. So we pray, and we want to invite you to pray with us. And then we advocate. The British participation in the transatlantic slave trade ended because a Christian politician advocated. His name was William Wilberforce. He advocated his government as a member of parliament to stop the slave trade and his country's participation in it. So we needed God's people to be a witness in their culture and in their communities that we need these things to change. And the last thing is giving. God's people are called to give. And IJM cannot continue doing its work without the faithful giving of our freedom partners who give every month and pray every month and advocate every month to make sure that we can continue to do this work and that one day we'll actually be able to rescue Gideon's brother. That hope is sustained by prayer and advocacy and giving. I want you to watch this video.
We all know the Good Samaritan story. Two other people walked past this man who was hurt and wounded. There was one person who stopped, picked him up, and paid for his care. It didn't take too much. It just required him to stop and actually pay attention that somebody is suffering. Pay attention that somebody is wounded. Now, Jesus talked to us about this parable because he wants us to be like that Good Samaritan. You may be removed miles and miles away from where these things are happening, from where the crime of human trafficking or slavery is happening. But you're also very close to the heart of Jesus. He wants to extend his kingdom on this earth. And he doesn't just come from heaven and do it himself. He uses people like you and I. He uses us as his instruments. He uses our abilities to extend his kingdom. Do you want to be someone who stopped and decided no? This is wrong. It cannot happen on my watch. It cannot happen in my time. And so the invitation is open.
If you are watching this, it is because you woke up this morning and made the choice to get here. And when you leave this place, you take it with you. Right now, there are more than 145 million people around the world still bound in slavery, and that number is growing. IJM has a model that works, but we can't do more unless we have more help. So we are asking believers from around the world to take action and take us with you too. We call them Freedom Partners. When you become a Freedom Partner, you join a community that is actively praying, advocating, and spreading the word to get more people involved. By giving $24 a month or more, we can grow our global mission to find, rescue, and renew lives. Because lack of resources should never be the reason why we didn't end slavery.
Do you want to be one of them who walked past, or do you want to be someone who stopped and decided, no, this is wrong. It cannot happen on my watch. It cannot happen in my time. And so the invitation is open.
Join us and become a Freedom Partner today.
I know hearing stories like this is hard. It's hard for me, and I hear it every day. So I just want to give you a couple minutes to just pray and respond to this and just answer that invitation of who do you want to be in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the person that goes aside the road or the person that helps. And you can answer that invitation today by becoming a Freedom Partner and praying and advocating and giving alongside us. It's something that I work at IJM and I'm a Freedom Partner because I believe in it. My wife and I give. And it's just something that it makes a tangible difference in the world. And it is a way to actually bring freedom to people like Gideon. To actually see someone who is enslaved one day in 6 months be free and graduating from masonry school and have an employment opportunity where he can actually work and get paid for his work. And it's only because God's people are answering that call. So I just want to give you a few minutes as the band is playing to consider giving. There'll be ushers in the back that have baskets, and then John is going to come up and invite you into a time of communion, and I'll be at the table in the back to answer any questions. I really appreciate the opportunity to just share this with you and to partner with you in this way. Thanks.
So in this moment of awkwardness, we want you to take time and just think. So before we do communion, we're going to give you time just to talk with your spouse, your family, and answer the question, are we going to do this today? So if you feel led, fill out that form, bring it to the back, and we'll take communion in just a little bit. Jesus came to bring us freedom. We believe as a church that it is now our role to walk in his footsteps and follow. As we have been set free, we are now instruments in his hands to lead others to know that same freedom. Today we have an opportunity to partner with an organization that is leading the cause, but we also have the call to partner with our King of Kings and Lord of Lords who didn't just give up $24 a month, he gave up his entire life to show us what freedom truly is. When he laid down his life on a cross and allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed, he stretched out his arms and said, I love you this much. And to any who would receive that love and receive his forgiveness, he gave the right to be set free, to become children of God. And if you're here today and you've never accepted that freedom, our call to you is to receive it, to know it, to accept it. God loves you so much. I want to invite Anthony's family, Becky, Mike, come on up here, will you? A lot of you know Anthony is one of our apprentices here. He does everything that nobody else wants to do. I met Anthony when he was about 12 years old, and as his youth pastor, one of the things I got to know about Anthony was his huge heart for his dad. This is Mike, as I got to know Anthony and Becky, one of the things they asked me to partner with them is praying for Mike. I want you to know that many of you here have been praying and partnering in that same way. And about 2 weeks ago, Mike gave his heart to Jesus. So Jesus has come to set us free. And now as free ones, we're sent into this earth to bring freedom to others. As Mike is now set free and seeking after God, his hope is that you all will partner with him and lift him up. His family members be praying with him that God will show him how he's to be used to bring freedom to others. Being from the Philippines, he's told me he's got some stories to tell. And I look forward to hearing those and praying with you about what God can do through you. So, what is God going to do through you? We're the church. We don't just go to church. We're to be the church. We're to bring this freedom, this message of love, forgiveness, and help others be set free. What are you going to do in that? We're going to pray for Mike, and then we're going to take communion. Jesus said on the night before he was arrested, he took a piece of bread, and he said to his followers, he said, "This bread is a symbol of my body broken for you. As you eat of it, remember what I've done for you. As you take this cup and taste of it, remember my blood shed for you." I would have done this even if it was just Mike. He would have done it even if it was just you. He loves us that much. So as you come to the front or go to the back to receive and remember what God did for us, let us ask him to show us how we can bring this message of freedom to others. Father God, be with us all. We thank you and we celebrate with the angels in heaven who rejoice whenever one comes to you. We rejoice with Mike. We thank you for the long prayers of Anthony and Becky and those in this room who have been praying for Mike. We pray that you continue to show how you want to use him now to bring this message of freedom to others. We pray for each and every person in this room. Show us how we can be instruments in your hand, whether it's by giving $24 a month or doing more. Let us remember that you set the example for us by giving up everything so that we would give our lives for you. Move among us now, I pray. If you're in this room and you've never given your heart to Christ, to know that freedom, today may be your first day to call out to him and say, "Jesus, come into my life. Become my Savior. Set me free. Help me to follow you. I receive your forgiveness. Help me to learn to walk as you walked." If you need to do that today, we'd love to pray with you. We've got some prayer team members in the back. I'll be at the front. We'd love to pray with you as you consider taking that step. Respond in these moments now as the Holy Spirit leads you. Father God, move among us now. We